Have you been thankful this week? Well, I want to invite you to listen to those who have on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Last week, I invited you to listen as we heard Thanksgiving testimonies from some of our members at Change by Grace Community Church. Today, I want to invite you to listen again as we're reminded of what this time, as well as every day, is all about. Well, I hope that you'll listen today as we join together those who are thankful.
Hey, I'm James. This is my wife, Jen. There's so much that we're thankful for, but we're going to focus on just a couple things. But whenever we first started coming here, we were kind of dating. We weren't really courting. We were dating. We were just hanging out, you know. I was doing what was convenient for me. But that would all change when a bunch of people would ask me what was going on. What's going on with you and Jen? You guys getting married? Well, I don't know. We're kind of just hanging out. You know, I want to finish school. I got my checklist to go on before I can really do God's. But I'm thankful that there were people that remain nameless, but there's a bunch of them that I'm just so thankful for that you've really given me just the biggest blessing in my life. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. You can't really understand what kind of blessing God will have for you. Just like when you're not saved, you don't really know what it is to be saved. I mean, you can hear about it, but when you hear about marriage, like Jason Peacher one day after we got engaged, he's like, dude, you know those Jason Peacher eyes. He's like, dude, it's so awesome to be married. It's like, it's just so awesome to have someone to share your life with and just share everything with. And I was like, yeah, man, it's cool. But little did I know that it really is the most awesome thing that's ever happened to me. And it's, I mean, and also just huge blessings is just the stories that you guys have and the witnesses that you guys are. And Travis and Michelle are just I'm so thankful for you guys, man. And your little boy is he just blesses me so much. It's just the change that I've seen in him, because I really didn't used to like him. He was a brat. He was, man. And since he got a godly family, and since he got God in his life, he's just a different person, and it's awesome. And, man, that just blesses my heart. And Jen's got something to say.
In addition to what James said, I'm just so thankful for the leadership and for Steve and how he counseled us before we got married. And I thought I knew what it was to be a wife just from reading scripture or whatever, but for him to sit down with us, take time out of his day, I mean, he plans for Wednesdays and Sundays, then plus on top of that, counseling us was just such a blessing, because he showed us what it really was to be a woman and a man. And then also for the women and the men in the church, and just to see them, how they interact with their husbands and with their children, even though I might not talk to you or always know what's going on. I just, the example that you set by just your actions, and the example that the men are to James, even though they don't personally affect my life, they affect James and then me. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And I am thankful for my salvation and all that stuff, but a large part of what I'm thankful for comes from this church and the fact that I was led here and that I was led to marry James and all that good stuff. So, the end.
I got one more thing. At our marriage, most of y'all were there, and Chip and Steve brought it pretty hard, and we were expecting a lot of persecution, and we were welcoming it, but Chip said, and all y'all out there that are thinking about talking to them about how much you hate me and you hated their wedding, keep your comments to yourself. And they really have been. So I really thank you for, even though that would have been an awesome burden, thank you for holding that for us and just the burden that you guys do carry on a regular basis. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to do what Chan did, probably, and just read my notes, because if I keep looking at you, I'll never get through it. But I've been thinking for a while, you know, I have a little spiral notebook, and I've been writing down all these things that I'm thankful for, and you guys will probably be thankful that I'm not going to read everything that I wrote down that I'm thankful for. But a few people this past year especially have just been very important in my life, in my family's life, and I don't want to leave anyone out because everyone has been very important to us. But the first person that came to my mind was Mike Miller. And I don't know if you guys know Mike Miller, but I'll just read what I wrote. Never have I known a more faithful friend. He has been there and stood beside my family through every painful trial. If you don't know him, I challenge you to get to know him. He is an awesome man. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully." Mike has shown me the value of this. The second person that comes to mind is Chip Merkel. And for 15 years, Steve and I kept asking, is there anyone out there who believes what we believe, who is willing to take the word seriously and do what it says no matter what? Well, finally the Lord brought us Chip, and I'm so thankful to have a friend, to have him as a friend, and proud to have him as my pastor. I think I embarrassed him at the polls one day when I announced to everyone, that's my pastor! But I really am proud of him. I truly see him as a gift from the Lord. When Tim and Darcy were here from the Voice of the Martyrs, Darcy made a comment to her about her husband, and she said that even when he makes mistakes, that she knows that the motivation of his heart was right. And I immediately thought of Chip. I've said the same thing to Steve about him. If at times you don't understand him, you can trust his actions are motivated by a heart that seeks after God. He's truly been a lifesaver for our family. God sent him at the very end for me. I was hanging on. I think that the last year before we met Chip, Jesus got tired of my prayer, because basically it was, help me. That was my prayer. Third person, Jamie Armstrong. Servant's heart. Jamie's been there countless times this year for my family. He's waiting silently in the background, his strong arms ready to catch us and hold us up. I'm always going to be in your debt. And then my children. My children are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Often I pray that the Lord would stand in the gap and shield them from my weaknesses. This year, the Lord has shown me that He is making them into His image, and that no matter what, He will keep them safe in His care. When I was growing up, I always said I wasn't going to get married and I wasn't going to have children. And I'm so glad that the Lord is the one that directs our steps, because I have no greater gift than my children. They're awesome. And I can say that. But it's not me. It's not me. The Lord is what has made them who they are. And then comes all of you. Each of you are a valuable gift and an answered prayer. I was beginning to believe that we would never on this earth know what the true body of Christ is like. Now I know what is meant by the psalm that says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Steve and I married 2 years after I got saved. In 16 years of marriage, we have been involved in 8 churches. And I wrote a list of, this is the first church that I have been in since being saved that, as a pastor's wife, actually seeks to live out the truths of the Bible, that has accepted elder rule, that is willing to confront sin, that does not give honor to someone based on their wealth or how long they've been a member, or I would add, the color of their skin. Forgives you when you blow it. It's the first church that I know of that wants accountability, that doesn't give a, as Chip would say, a rip about the time. They only care about God's word when it comes to church policy, not about tradition. This is the first church that I have experienced that I haven't panicked when I heard that the income had gone down, because this is the first church that didn't cut or eliminate Steve's pay and still expect him to be their pastor full time when the finances were low. This is the first church that has godly role models for my children and someone they can look up to, and I don't have to be afraid of allowing them to be alone with you or to go to your homes. This is the first church that I've been in that I don't have to be at home waiting during a church meeting or elders' meeting, leadership meeting, sick to my stomach, wondering what kind of attack Steve is receiving at the hands of the leadership of the church. This is the first church that I don't have to wonder if my family is the topic of conversation or being chewed apart by the congregation. And this is the first church that I know that finally the leadership will stand with us and protect the honor of my family. I told Steve, I feel like in the First Baptist commercial that I'm finally home. As Steve would say, this is not an all-inclusive list. I've spent much of my Christian experience in tears, alone, asking what is wrong with me, and wondering if anyone out there really believes and seeks to live God's word. I was beginning to think that I would never experience the true church, the side of heaven. But thank God I was wrong. All of you truly are an answered prayer.
Amen. I was just thinking as she was reading that, I shouldn't have worn my contacts tonight. They'll slide down my face in a minute. When I think of things that I'm thankful for, I've decided to limit them to 3, because you know I can be long-winded, and I'm thankful for that. So it's a joke. Didn't used to be. I didn't have to do that. So, but you know, I'm thankful for my salvation, and we've said that tonight. And I mean, I know we're all thankful for that. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here. I know I wouldn't be. And I think many times, if Jesus didn't save me when He did, I'd probably be in hell right now. Life I was living was certainly bent in that direction, and I didn't care about anything, anybody but me. And I wanted my drugs. I wanted all those things. Wanted to be a rock star and all that junk. And I'm thankful that the Lord changed my life. I'm thankful that He brought a man in my life, David Parkins, who shared the gospel with me, even though he was being disobedient at the time when he came over. He came over with a 12-pack, and it was almost like, if I can't win him, I'll join him. And while we're sitting there, the Lord convicts him, and he starts sharing the gospel. And a friend of mine gets up and walks out of the room, and he comes back in, looks at me crying, and he says, Steve, I'm not going to play in the band anymore. And I didn't say anything because he quit several times, and I fired him several other times. So I just said, we'll just ride this out. But he just kept sharing with me, and over a period of time, he didn't give up. And I mean, I'm thankful for that because, you know, like Chip was talking about, I hadn't had anybody share with me. Well, back then, that was the only person that shared with me. And I don't know if it had to do with the way I looked or the way I acted or what. I certainly didn't look like I look now. And I just remember him being faithful and sharing with me. And as I look back on 20 years, March 88, and just see all the things that he's done and all the things we've been through and continue to go through in our growth. And I just look back and I praise God. And I, like in the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's made me a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I don't desire my past. I'm thankful that he delivered me from it. And I'm thankful that he's been growing me. And that, you know, he's given me an opportunity to represent him. I never dreamed I would be preaching. I certainly never thought of that. But I'll tell you this, and I don't really understand it, but I know right before I got saved, I did have this thought in my mind that I was going to be a pastor. I don't know where they came from. I don't know why. I mean, it was several years after I got saved. And, you know, I'm thankful that you know, following my conversion and God calling me to preach, and he gave me an opportunity to go to school, and I hated school. I dropped out when I was 16. All I cared about was my drugs. And even before I got saved, the Lord led opportunities for me to finish and then go to college. And I did 8 years of college. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to get 4 degrees. And for them all to be paid for. That's in itself an amazing thing to me. And but most importantly, he gave me a beautiful wife, gave me a beautiful family. And I knew that I didn't have the gift of singleness. I knew what 1 Corinthians 7 meant. I came from a lifestyle of immorality. And it's almost like a druggie needing to be cleaned up. Well, he cleaned me up for 3 years. And then gave me a wife. And later began to give me children who are my joy. Amen. I don't have rebellious kids. Amen. And they're a joy. I mean, you know, we try to teach them and we try to live in front of them and be an example to them, and we blow it, and we try to go to them and say, will you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And it's paying off because they're doing it back. And they're seeing that we're willing to humble ourselves. And but I'm thankful for these things, and preparation for ministry was never easy, and I never thought that I would ever finish school. I shot for 1 degree at a time. I didn't think I would go for the next one, but the Lord orchestrated all those circumstances. But if I'd have known then what I know now, that preparation of ministry is weekly, monthly, yearly, even more so now. Me and Charlie Swan used to have a saying when we were in seminary together. We used to say, I can't wait to get out so I can study my Bible. Because we were studying so many things about the Bible that we wanted to study our Bible. I want to say something too. Chip mentioned this earlier. But I'm thankful for you, and I've waited 15 years for this point. I'll be honest with you, there were times that my heart failed me. I never thought it would happen. I've only been full-time in a church 3 times. 2 of the times I was full-time, it was only for 8 months. I've worked 3 jobs while pastoring a church. I've done everything in the church. One church I worked at was a great church. I was their maintenance. Also, I did their cleaning. And I remember one day I was in there scrubbing toilets, and I was just going, Lord, I mean, if this is what you want me to do, I'll accept it. But I know the burning in my heart is that you've called me to preach. And little did I know that, I mean, that was part of the training. I mean, the humility that goes along with it. And, I mean, I don't say that lightly. We need people to do these things. But it was almost like as if the Lord was teaching me that, you know, if you're going to serve and lead people, then you've got to be willing to do everything and no matter what. And, you know, so it's kind of like Paul said, you find a place to rejoice in those things. And the shepherding process, becoming a shepherd, is a slow process. And Chip heard a quote by a guy named Charles Jefferson, and he read it to me. Actually, he said, type this out. So he's talking to me on the phone, and I'm typing it out, and I'm reading it, and I've read it so many times since, and he's probably wondering, how come you haven't given me a copy yet? But it says this, and just listen to this. This is so profound. It is by no means easy for a young man to become a shepherd. And he ought not to be discouraged if he cannot become one in a day or even in a year. In order he can become without difficulty. A reformer he can become at once. In criticism of politics and society, he can do a flourishing business the first Sunday. But a shepherd, he can become only slowly and by patiently traveling the way of the cross. And I tell you, there's times where, again, I didn't know what the Lord was doing, but I want you to know that you're everything that I have hoped for, everything that I have prayed for, everything that I have labored for, and to have a church that hungers for the Word of God, I feel like I've gotten my joy back. Because I remember in the very beginning, I was so excited about the Word and teaching the Word, but little did I know I was casting my pearls before swine. And I was doing it year after year after year. I was in places where people didn't want it. And we used to always ask the question, is it us? And I used to always have to say to my wife, consider the church. Consider the state of those churches. One church I pastored, I was pastor number 35. And that tells you anything. I can't accept the blame of those situations of what I walked into. But I knew that I wanted to be faithful. And I've had people in those situations say, leave, leave. And I said, I can't. God hasn't opened the door to leave. He hasn't given me the exit sign. I'm staying until they kill me. And my heart, I wept so much for the people that I was with. And I remember many Wednesday nights coming up there to preach and we're praying as a church and I'm standing there and I just can't stop crying. Because they couldn't see what they were. And I wouldn't in any way say I was better than them. The difference was I could see what I was. And it was just so devastating. And to have a church right here that cares about the things of God, that's all I care about. I mean, you know, we all get caught up in nice houses and nice cars. To be honest with you, I don't really care about that stuff. The Lord's given me a nice home. He's given me a lot of land. And He's given me a family to share it with. But I care more about the things of God than I do that. But I'm grateful for what He's given me. Believe me, when I drive the vehicles, and we've had many that broke down and left you stranded, I'm thankful to have one to get me from point A to point B. You know, but I care more about the things of God than I care about anything. And I'm grateful to you that you free me. You've taken the noose off around my neck that I wore for 15 years. And when you let someone freely minister like that, then guess what? They're going to be able to be what God wants them to be. They're going to be able to do what God wants them to do. And to be able to have the time to study and to have the freedom to do that and to have an office at my house. I mean, I've been in churches where they said, you know, we want you to be here from this time to this time. And I'm saying, listen, you just don't understand the ministry. It isn't like that. You can't put a time on it like that. The many times, hours that you sit there with families at night, or you sit in the hospital with families, and you're there till midnight or 3 in the morning, and then they want you back at 8 in the morning. But they don't understand. That's not what it's about. But to be able to be home and to have a place to go, to be able to study the Word, and to have the time I need. And I don't always get it the first time, so you get the results when I walk up here, but you don't see the pain or the sweat that you go through to get what you're working toward. And this study of Revelation has been a challenge for me. I mean, a big challenge. And I've many times have tried to find a way out of it. But there's 22 chapters. And I'm thinking, next book is going to be one verse, Jesus wept, you know. At least I'll be out that Sunday. But I'm thankful for you. And I just want to say, too, that God's put like-minded men in my life, too, just like Chip said. And I'm thankful for Him. And I remember when Matt came over with a couple other people on a Tuesday night, we were having a Bible study, and that's when we met in the shed, the church in the shed. And I remember when they came, and I remember everybody in the room was saddened when they heard they were starting a church. because we were just hungering for being around like-minded people. And then I remember when Chip came, and I don't know if he was filling me out, but he cracked one joke after another afterward, and I didn't know what the Lord was doing. And then the Lord gave me the opportunity to preach in the 3-car garage, and that was incredible. And we did turn the fan off. I didn't have to speak over it. But it was just incredible to preach on suffering and to see people sitting there going, I want that. I want more of that. I want the Word. And then a couple days later, we're talking about, let's bring these two churches together. You know, and we'd all heard about Natalie's praying in her prayer journal. And little did we know that our wives were praying that. And I just want to tell you, I'm really thankful for that. And to have co-laborers, to have Chip and Matt and Mike that have the like-mindedness. I don't have to worry about anything. I know that they can do everything I do. You know, the only difference that would separate us would be years, would be some experience. And what Chip was talking about Monday night with Matt, we have an elders meeting every Monday night, and we've been, Matt and Mike have been in the process of training to be an elder, and we've been in this for over a year. And well, part of it is that you have to be a gifted teacher. You have to have the gift of teaching. And so we said, Mike and Matt, you're going to have to preach for us. And we're going to give you some time. You're going to have to prepare it. And these are the types of kinds of sermons you're going to have to do. And they're going to be doing it again. And it was just so exciting to sit there and to hear them handle the Word. I said, listen, I know this may be your first time, but I'm not interested in, you know, your mannerism. I'm not interested in any of that. Even if you stare at your notes the whole time, what I'm interested in is how you handled the text. Did you accurately interpret the Bible? It's all I was interested in. And I sat back there, hidden behind that wall over there, and I was just thanking Jesus, you know. And just thankful for what He's raised up.
God has truly raised up so many who serve at Changed by Grace Community Church. Well, you've been listening today to a message, a very special message on Thanksgiving. To obtain a copy of this message today, call us at 904-651-3351. Or you can visit us online at www.changedbygrace.org. Changed by Grace is a ministry of Changed by Grace Community Church. For more information about our ministry, call us at 904-651-3351. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you today for listening.